Thank you for joining us, and welcome to Bread Time.
My name is Gabriel Valdivia.
And this is Charlie Dietz.
Boop, 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 ba-doo.
Okay, today I think we're going to try to talk about product management. So we're both product designers here, and we often work with product managers. No matter like what type of work you're doing in design, there's someone else who's generally kind of managing it on some level. And I think there's like a wide variety of ways that people handle that other position, and a lot of ways that we have to respond and work with that position. So we're going to kind of like explore some of those ways and talk them out.
So we talked about engineers before. That's one out of the product trifecta: engineers, designers, and now PMs. I think engineers and designers are pretty self-explanatory in terms of what their role does, although there's a lot of overlap between the two. PM or product management is pretty obtuse. Like, it's hard to really pinpoint exactly what a product manager does, or at least it's not obvious based on the name product manager. So maybe you can take a stab at defining what that means.
People take the role and they run with it different ways. I think first off, the first thing that I think I want to say is like most PMs I've ever worked with are not people managers as their first part of the job. Some people might be interested in that, but across the board, they are really focused on the product and they're focused on the execution of the product, right? So one of my favorite managers I've worked with at Facebook was Patty Underwood. And
shout out to Patty.
We worked together on the privacy team, and something that's incredible about the way he worked was he like allowed me the room to do the product thinking, and then he would respond to that. So like, there's a lot of PMs out there that'll be like really aggressively thinking through their product thoughts and like introducing those to everyone else on the team. That works sometimes when someone has a really strong product thinker and they like are really focused, they can kind of like spread their thoughts around and everyone will get excited about it and start building towards it. But another angle is sometimes like letting the people who are like really in the weeds, like sort of pull the product decisions out and like starting from there.
I think product management and design have a lot of overlap, because especially lately, designers get a little bit offended if you tell them that what designers need to do is just make things pretty, right? Like, designers want to be involved in the product thinking and the definition and strategy of the product. I think that's what prompted the recent change from, you know, UI design to product design, right? To having a hand in product. And I think that is has the danger of stepping on product management toes and vice versa, right? So one thing I do when I work with product managers, the first thing I try to do is I ask them, what do you think you're good at? And what do you think I'm good at? Just try to hear it from their perspective. Sometimes the product manager really likes doing spreadsheets and the logistics behind shipping the product, and that's really what they want to spend their time on. That's great. So then you know what void you have to fill. But sometimes the product manager really wants to do the product thinking. And in that case, you know, to reserve some of that and let that person take the lead on that. That to me has helped me kind of like find the balance between logistics of shipping the product, product thinking, and actually execution of that product.
I've also heard that PMs, at least at Facebook, work under the premise that they're trying to fill in the gaps of the team. Like, that's like their starting position. So if you have really strong product thinkers, you can lay back on that and work with other parts of the team that need like more help. I think, like, for example, when Patty and I were working together, I think I was like pretty passionate about some of the stuff we were working on. So he kind of gave me the room to run with that and really managed like the execution part of it. I've worked with other PMs that are stronger product thinkers and let them guide the way. In those times, like, I do think that the product design role is potentially compromised a little bit, because if I am executing on a vision and not being valued for my product thoughts, I'm like, I am more of like a UI or UX designer, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I've played that role many, many, many times. But I personally get like a ton of joy from really like influencing the product. And that's why I don't think of myself as the strongest visual designer or even interaction designer, but I do think of myself as like a generalist who's like thinking about the product. So I think that's when I'm in like my personal hot zone.
So as a generalist, how do you make yourself compatible with any product manager, or is that impossible?
Well, I think I do exactly what I was saying the PMs do. I try to fill in the gaps, right? Like, so I try to be receptive to what they're putting out as well, and then like just try to...
Well, but what if the gap does not involve product thinking, right? But what if that gap has been filled by the product manager?
Yeah, I mean, then I'm less happy. Yeah. Yeah. But I still do the job. Like, that's my number one objective. Like, I don't get to do the fun stuff every single day, you know?
So when thinking about a T-shaped person, the longer T for you is the product thinking.
Well, no, I think they all just extend out equally, right? Like I care about visual design, I care about interaction design, and I care about product thinking. I don't think they like all change length depending on what I'm doing.
So if I'm a product manager and I'm looking to work with a designer, how do I know what buttons to push?
Interestingly, I asked Patty this. We should not use his name, maybe. I asked Patty, I was like, what's it like to work with a designer? And he's like, well, they're emotional. And I was like, oh, like, you're right. Because, and I thought about that a lot. I was like, oh, like, as a designer, you feel like you're putting yourself on the line. And you're up for criticism constantly. Like, PMs somehow manage this a little better because they remove themselves a little bit from like the thinking, like they're just exploring the ideas and like trying to make the right decision. But designers tend to come with a solution, and that's like connected to our egos in certain ways. And when we present something and it doesn't go as well, like it is like emotional. So I think he was basically saying like you have to like be conscious of that when interacting with a designer from the PM role. And I think he must have been conscious of my emotions because I'm talking positively about him right now.
Yeah, I mean, we keep touching on this point, which is as we get older and as we mature as designers, one of the things that at least I realize that I need to confront and eventually internalize is to trust the process, right? Just play your role as a designer and let it play through. If your product is on the way to failing, let it fail and let it like rise from that and let it evolve from what it is. And I think because we present solutions all the time and our ego is involved with it, like it's hard to go through that cycle. And it's hard to, you know, kill your darlings and separate yourself from the process. And even now, after doing this for quite a bit now, I see more experienced designers that can separate themselves from the product. And to me, that feels like empty. There's something there that's missing. There's a passion that I don't know if I want to lose, but it seems necessary to actually be able to survive all these cycles of product development.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, we were like kind of going through this where we started to see like the more experienced designers were sitting there and they'd be calm through storms. And we're like, how can you do that? Like, and it was both like elusive and intriguing. I feel like I've gotten more that way, but I can't let go of my feelings in like the work I do. I just have declared bankruptcy on that idea. I can't let go of my emotions. So I'm gonna be a more emotive person when I work. And I think there's some maturity to like being able to remove yourself from those emotions. And I think that's like what PMs often do. That's not me. So I think Patty was right once again.
It seems like PMs have a better way dealing with that, right? They, because their role demands kind of a 10,000 foot view of the product and the team, they're able to see how it plays out and kind of like detach themselves from the process. I'm sure there's an exception to that, but that from my perspective, it seems like that's the case.
A lot of PMs I've worked with have like this analytical vibe. And like, as you enter conversations, I like sometimes want to be like, check this idea out, it might be cool. But I always get the same result, which is they're like, okay, let me think about it, let me do this thing, like, right? And they come back to you with like the holes in it and stuff. I've gotten way more used to this now where I just expect it going into those conversations. But yeah, it's like that nonstop critical and analytical vibe, and also thinking about things from a really wide perspective. Like when I think about like the best interface and like how it's gonna work, even if I'm thinking about how it's going to work for a lot of people, I'm still not always necessarily considering like what competition is doing, what like it'll play like in these random other circumstances. I think my view is still a little bit more narrow than the PM view. And it's often good feedback I get from my PM of that wider view that helps me move like a design from like kind of done to like way more close to done. When I worked at Electric Pulp, we were doing more like client work a lot of the time. And the PM role was pretty different there because they were managing the project and creating, like describing who should be working on what at what times to keep it organized and moving forward. But also they were mitigating client relations too. Like as I was a front end engineer there, I didn't deal with the clients directly. Usually it would be pretty rare that I did, but the PM like took all of the like feedback and stuff from the clients and delivered it back to me, like the right stuff to keep everything like efficient. It was like Grand Central Station. That was like the job, like the right information was being delivered to the right people at the right times.
That seems very similar to how we do things at Facebook too. But instead of a client, you have stakeholders, right? So you have directors or, you know, VPs or whatever. And the PM is often the person that delivers that information upstream and cross-functionally to other teams. So I see the parallel there in both in-house and client work.
Yeah, it just depends who the client is, whether it be like people who are invested in it or people who are paying for it from the outside. But yeah, it is really similar. It just, you know, the thing is you can build relationships with internal people over the course of time, whereas if it's always a new client coming in, that relationship has to be like rebuilt every time. And the PM, like in that case, I think is the one who handles that a lot more.
Yeah, and I think that's specific to the manager side of the title, right? Just like the designer side of our title deals with pixels and interactions. I think the product side of both titles is where the overlap happens, right? Where it's unclear really what role you play versus the product manager. And I think that's where most of the friction happens, right? When someone's pushing for a vision that is different than what the designer is aiming to do.
Here's one that I didn't understand before I got to a larger company. Engineering managers and product managers, like how those two roles played out. I was like, well, isn't the product manager kind of like telling who should be working on what, or is the engineering manager doing that and stuff? I think from my experience here, engineering managers tend to be both people managers as well as working like so closely with the engineers to help like decide who should be working on what at what times, so that like frees up the PM to kind of be like dealing with more like cross-functional stuff, like dealing with like more data-related things. Like basically it like frees up part of the PM role so that the PM is not like completely overwhelmed with so much stuff. I don't know. Do you feel it?
EMs are more people managers, right? Like that's probably in the Venn diagram, the people management is probably the biggest part, where in the PM, the manager part is not necessarily related to people, but to the project itself, the product itself. So how do you manage the delivery of that product, whether it's cross-functionally or et cetera?
Okay. So we talked about like Patty's view of like designers and like probably that inspired some of the ways he like treats his designers. What about how we look at PMs? Like what is the hardest part of dealing with a PM? Like what do you spend the most time convincing them of?
The hardest part for me is that PM seems to be sometimes motivated by different things than designers, right? Like why do we do what we do? A designer probably has a slightly different answer to that than a PM does. A PM is more often than not, in my experience, concerned about the impact that particular product has within the organization you're working on and within the goals of the business, because that's probably required from that discipline. While a designer is usually a bit more aspirational than that. They try to push for values that go beyond the product and maybe even beyond the company, right? They are motivated by different set of heuristics. So to me, the hardest thing to do in any team, but especially with a PM, is aligning really what we're motivated on. I'm rarely motivated by money or even business goals. I try to do things because they contribute to a larger goal. And I find PMs can sometimes be more grounded, more pragmatic than designers.
The way I look at the PM, they're kind of like, they're interested in the resources they have, like how much time they have from all their people and stuff like that. They're interested in keeping everyone happy and moving in one direction. They're interested in making sure that the team's working on stuff that is good for the company in general and stuff like that. And they're also concerned about the user experience generally. But I view like design and content strategy and research as being 100% focused on user experience. And that's what like we bring to the table. Like in every single conversation with a PM, I want to be like representing the user and like the person who's going to be experiencing this. If I'm not doing that, then I don't feel like I'm doing my job. And like the best PMs I've worked with are receptive to that and are like keep adding that to their overall vision. And they're, yeah.
That to me is probably like 90% of what I care about. There's still like a 10% of I know better than the user. And that sounds arrogant to say, but like there's a 10% of me that wants to push the user forward in a particular direction. And I feel like research, for example, it is 100% user, the proxy for the user. But from a design perspective, I feel like there are certain aspirations that we try to transfer to users. And that 10% is what I think is unique to designers.
Yeah, I think it depends on your product goals and your like goals of the team. Like sometimes you want to be building a product that pushes things to the next level and it like engages with people in a new way or something like that. Other times you want to help people accomplish a goal that's like on their mind. It just depends what your team's working on. Like for example, in VR per se, like you're pushing new paradigms, but if I'm sending a message to someone, I might just want them to be able to send that message. You know?
No, I'd argue that even if you're sending a message or filling a form or whatever, as a designer, you have the responsibility to push that forward, even a little bit, in a certain subjective direction, right? Like, you know, even messaging was a pretty stale environment until people were willing to innovate on it. Right? And now we think of messaging very differently than we thought about it 5 years ago. So yes, people need to accomplish the task, but I think there's another kind of like aspirational side of that, that designers have a responsibility to address.
Okay, so how do you convince your PM you're right? And have you ever been in a moment where you're convincing your PM you're right and then suddenly realized you might be wrong?
The answer to that is you don't. You never convince your PM that you're right. You convince them that they're right in thinking your idea.
I've been doing it wrong. Damn it.
Yeah, I think design or product development in general, making products is never a one-man show. So as long as anybody can smell that you want to make it a one-man show, you want to push any single idea forward, then everything crumbles. I've made this mistake multiple times before. And today what I do is I try to play that role that we talked about and suggest 90% of an idea and let people get to the remaining 10% so that it becomes a communal idea. And oftentimes that 90% becomes a different idea altogether and often than not a better idea. But to come in to any sort of situation where two humans are involved and you're trying to move in a similar path forward, you don't make it so that they're following your idea. You make it so that your idea is infectious to them.
Yeah, I used to make the mistake where I always showed my favorite mock and then I'd keep the rest in my back pocket. So like when people were like, oh, why don't you try this? I'd be like, I did, look at this. You know, like or whatever. And that never goes well. Now when I show my PM work, I generally show a smattering of ideas, which I used to be uncomfortable with because I felt like I wasn't doing my job if I wasn't being more opinionated, but I still have an opinion. But the cool thing about showing ideas at sort of like an equal level to your PM is you get like another level of feedback from them. And sometimes their feedback might have some like stuff in there which you hadn't thought of and that ends up contributing to a way to like fix up that idea or change it into something new. So I try to like not convince as much as possible. It is an uncomfortable position, I think, sometimes because I'm like, am I doing my job if I'm like just presenting ideas? But I try to save the times where I have an opinion for when I feel real strongly about something. And those are the ones I like double down on and I fight those fights. I think that just generally works a lot better because you end up like most people end up deciding pretty similar stuff when they have like product goals that are all together. So if you're really going to like fight for something outside of those, you got to feel pretty, you have to feel a lot of conviction over it that it's worth that fight. Because you don't want to like pull the fight card with your PM, especially unless you have good reason. Because if you drop the ball a few times and you fight for stuff and it ends up being the wrong stuff, they might like kind of lose trust in you a little bit and you don't want that. So
another way of thinking about it is you're playing the long game, right? So if you want product to head in a particular direction, you never make a move now that will immediately go in that direction. So you can think about it as like three steps, right? You want the product to go in a certain direction. What are the three steps you need to get there? And you make sure that you fight for the first one and you let the team come up with the second and the third step so it goes against that direction. That way it's a communal thing, right? And again, it might go in a variation of that direction, but I find that helps me create better relationships with the people I work with so that it feels like we're all in this together.
So just like the engineering episode, I feel like there's a lot more we could talk about here, but we'd love to hear from you if you have some stuff you'd like to hear us talk about. So hit us up on Twitter at breadtimefm, or you can check us out on our website, which is breadtime.fm. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you what you think about working with product management and if we're totally nuts about anything.
And I would also like to hear, what's your favorite kind of bread? Like, is it white bread? Is it Italian bread? Cuban bread? There's plenty of variation. And what makes a sandwich, the bread or the meat? There's a lot of bread related questions that we can go into.
We actually ate bread during this episode, which is like, we hadn't been doing that very much, so we're back to eating bread during the show. That feels good.
How would you rate the bread that you ate from one to John Stamos?
Double John Stamos.
Okay.